Welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse Podcast.
We discuss all things metaphysical, paranormal, and otherwise unexplainable.
We are a group of friends who are all on different stages of our spiritual journey and therefore have varying perspectives regarding the topics we will cover.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of other persons or groups we may be affiliated with, our sponsors, or producers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mysterious Multiverse. This is episode 4, Shadow Work. My name is Carolyn.
I'm Amy.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Jason.
All right, and away we go.
Okay, so this is about shadow works. The shadow self and shadow work really sound like nefarious terms, but they're really not. In reality, each one of us has a mental shadow or shadow self. So according to Carl Jung, the Swiss psychoanalyst who coined the term shadow self in the 40s, this is the part of you that you have hidden in your subconscious. And it's made of parts of you that have been through trauma, societal norms that you didn't meet up to, any part of you that you didn't feel was worthy, any part of you that you had to hide from other people. It all becomes part of your shadow at some point. So your shadow is, it could be compromised of experiences of being told by a parent that you weren't good enough, pretty enough, or smart enough. It could be made of dreams that were crushed by those who said you'd never be able to do it. It could be formed by physical abuse, disappointments, or regret for things you have done. So shadow work is actually working with the shadow. It's the method of drawing parts of your shadow out, bringing it to light or consciousness, and then deciding whether or not to eliminate it or integrate it back into yourself. We'll never eliminate our entire shadow, as everything with substance consequentially has a shadow. However, in some individuals, that shadow overpowers them, grows larger than them, and subsequently begins to take over. This can often come out in the form of anger issues, drug abuse, or dangerous and unhealthy ways. So I think we all know people who have big shadows. Or a good example is maybe someone who they're an upstanding citizen, but you get a couple drinks in them and all of a sudden they become very belligerent. Right. So what has happened is their conscious mind has been shut down and their shadow is emerging and their shadow is taking over. And so what shadow work would do, if that person, they stop drinking, they go to see somebody, they'd start, just like any psychoanalyst, would start going back to your childhood and figure out what happened that makes you need this substance to just function. And what's in you that's coming out when your conscious is shut down. So you're trying to bring forth all those elements in the subconscious, bring them up and deal with them. So that doesn't become a problem in your life that you're trying to drown out with drugs or alcohol or any other kind of habits that would keep you from thriving in your personal life. Hmm. So any thoughts? Have any of you dealt with shadow work before? Or
I have, yeah. And so basically for me, my experience with it happened probably only less than 6 months ago. And so I was doing a guided meditation and I was going through, actually some life things happened to me. I was kind of getting like the snowball effect of just boom, 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 lots of negative things happening. And I was like, you know, universal 2x4. And it's like, okay, I'm supposed to stop. That's all I know is right now I'm just supposed to stop. And I feel like I need to go internally. And so I was starting to look more into shadow work and I found a guided meditation. And in the guided meditation, you actually meet your shadow self. And so for me, I went ahead and did the guided meditation. I wasn't sure what to expect, you know. So I actually ended up looking into a dark cave. And that's where I saw my shadow self. And he actually presented almost like maybe a type of warrior, but one that looked almost more tribal-ish, I should say. But what I noticed more than anything else was him being covered in just deep scars, just scar tissue all over, and then just a lot of fresh wounds inflicted. And it just really took me back. And so I approached him in the meditation. We were supposed to you know, talk to our shadow self. And so immediately I asked him, I said, you know, why do you have all these scars? Like, what's happened to you? What, why are you covered in all these wounds? And he said to me, he says, well, this is all of your buried emotions. He said that basically all the times you've been stuffing, you've had all this pain. He said you've had trauma in your life, pain in your life, all these wrongdoings that have happened to you. And for you, you actually, you know, you voiced a little, but you've really stuffed a lot of the really the deep, deep, deep pain. You've just kept it inside and buried it and buried it and buried it. He goes, and this is it. He goes, you're looking at it right now. And that really took me back. I realized, yes, that is something that I do. And when I saw that, I thought, my God, what is this doing truly to the inside of me? Mm-hmm. I'm hurting myself. And so I said to him, I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I realized that actually I had issues with my throat chakra. And I realized a lot of that was probably me not verbalizing some pretty deep pain. You know, mm-hmm. It's easy for me to talk about a lot of things, but really some pretty deep truths and things like that just that have happened in my life, I've really kept very buried within. And so I started speaking more freely, and it really started transforming me in a way to where I just felt more in touch with my own self, and I felt free. I felt free. And so now I really believe, you know, as far as like my shadow self now, mm-hmm. it's getting where I just can think now that there's a healing taking place within me.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, it was just transforming.
So this was 6 months ago, you said?
Uh-huh.
So
it's amazing.
What?
Yeah. That is amazing.
What if you, or have you, gone to the cave again and checked up on yourself?
You know, I actually was, when I was just talking about it, I actually thought to myself, I thought, why haven't I gone back to the cave? I need to do that. And I will.
Absolutely.
I definitely need to.
Because how freeing would that be? How good would that feel if you saw that some healing, you could physically see that some healing was taking place?
I'm definitely going to do that.
And yeah. Based on our last conversation,
yeah,
you could, you know, give yourself some love and hugs and help heal your own self.
Agreed.
I mean, not that you're not doing that anyway, but literally give that shadow guy some love.
I totally did. Actually, you know? Before I actually ended up at the end, I was like, may I hug you, you know? And I hugged him so tightly, you know, and I thanked him. I was like, thank you. Thank you for, I'm tearing up now, but I was like, thank you for taking all of this on, know, because it's like, just seeing his body and what it had done to him, you know, I all I could do is thank him and just say, you know what, I promise I'm not going to do that anymore. Thank you.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Air hugs from
hugs, hug. Hugs all around.
Thank you.
Jason's very
wonderful.
Well, just listening to you tell that story, it popped in my head that why don't people sit around and have conversations where we actually divulge those deep, dark secrets. You know, I mean, we sit around and talk about sports and TV and movies and all this crap, but we don't talk about the things that really mean the most. I mean, we should literally get together and just have a bottle of wine and just let out all the most horrible things that have ever happened to us so that it gets out, you know? We never tell people these things. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about them. We just keep restuffing them. Oh, that was horrible.
Yes,
that's true. You know, the whole Me Too movement happened. Mm-hmm. And what I learned from that was that the things that happened to me happened to so many other people. Mm-hmm. And even though I haven't ever wanted to talk about things, but then they didn't want to talk about their things, and they didn't want to talk about their things because they were embarrassed and they were shocked and they were terrified mm-hmm. and they were hurt. And but we've all had the same experiences because we're human, and there's only really so many different terrible things that can happen to us.
Right.
So many people have had the same type of thing. It's really not that terrible, but it hurts us.
Right.
And we stuff it down, and then we develop this this scarred, injured self that's hiding in a cave somewhere going, oh, not again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how it's able to propagate for so long. The abuse is no one wants to talk about it.
Right.
and you can't stop it that way. So a great way to do shadow work is just like you said, with some people that you trust sitting around a table with a bottle of red wine, because red wine will definitely do it.
It will definitely do it. Not rosé. That has to be red.
It does, like because blood. That, will, and that makes you cry after your second glass, even if you're just watching a Kodak commercial. If anyone out there remembers Kodak.
I do.
So the Me Too movement was great, and the fact yes. that it ripped the... Mm-hmm. the band-aid off of that and let everybody speak their mind. Mm-hmm. And a great shadow, I think, was lifted off of the country, or at least our country.
I think it really was.
When that happened.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
huge.
And it was empowering. The women were then being able to bond together with these experiences, similar experiences mm-hmm. that had happened to them. And it really just, I could just see the empowerment through that. And mm-hmm. I thought that was such a beautiful thing.
And that's shadow work.
Yeah.
Because you're taking these deep-seated things that you've had to deal with for such a long time, and you're bringing it to light. Mm-hmm. And from that, you're taking away the negativity from it, and you're taking into yourself your own power. So when we make our shadow self as just getting huge and out of control, that's our personal power. We're only like half the person that we were. And then we're maybe like only a quarter of the person that we were. And then we have some big event where we're able to let that go. And we can reclaim that. And oftentimes you have to actually physically do it, whether you're seeing a therapist or whether you're going through a meditation that's taking you to the cave and you're actually finding your shadow self and communicating and being compassionate to yourself, being kind to yourself, and being yes. patient to yourself, and valuing yourself enough to know that you can help yourself.
Right.
Right. You don't have to feel this way.
You don't have to have somebody else do this. Right. You can delve into your own thoughts.
You
know what some of those things
are. That
was
perfect.
Right, yeah.
I mean, sometimes you need somebody to walk you through things to bring back memories that you have so hidden down that you don't even realize they're there anymore. But a lot of these things we do know, and we just don't want to acknowledge them anymore because it hurt.
Right.
So part of the shadow work is realizing that the event that hurt us isn't happening anymore. It's just the memory of what happened to us. Mm-hmm. Bringing up the memory isn't going to physically hurt us anymore. We might have heart pain, the emotional pain of it that we just have to acknowledge, and we have to sort of send that memory basically some love, which the memory, you have to acknowledge it and just shed some light on it and allow the pain to just happen and just recognize it and then just let it go. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like it's so easy when mm-hmm. it's these things that you've packed up and carried around with you and held on to for so long, but it really is just that simple. When you dredge up all those deep dark shadows and you pull them out of the trunk and you take a look at them and you're like, oh gosh, that really hurt, and
right,
huh, okay, that did hurt, and now you're not going to hurt me anymore, and just let it go.
Right.
So we've kind of talked about things when you know the causes, like you knew the causes, or when the whole Me Too movement was about, those weren't subconscious things that were happening. When we're talking about shadow work, they're usually subconscious things that we're not even aware of. We see the symptoms, like, for example, if you have a drug problem or an alcohol problem or an anger problem, or you have other things that is disrupting your life somehow, those are symptoms that maybe something's wrong.
Right.
And so at that point, you would do shadow work on your own, just like you did.
Yeah.
Or you could see somebody that would try to find out where those symptoms are coming from. And oftentimes, you can find it in the subconscious, where maybe that's how your dad dealt with things. He'd drink as soon as he came home. Or whenever there was a problem, he'd take a drink. Or perhaps whatever happened, that kind of numbs the pain for a while. You don't know, and you forgot even why you're numbing the pain after a while.
Right.
You just know you have pain, and this gives you some breathing room.
Yeah.
Okay. So most of your shadow work will be unconscious. You'll be bringing all that stuff that you haven't seen for a long time to light and reintegrating that. And that's pretty powerful too. It's really conscious when you're aware of it and you're dealing with it in the moment. But it's really important to also try to find those things that are buried deep inside that are affecting the way that you're dealing with people now, especially if it's in a negative way or a self-harming way.
Right.
So you're saying that shadow work primarily is work on things that you don't remember.
Right.
As opposed to the things that you do remember. Although I would think that they included both things.
It's absolutely both. Because especially once you've gone in and you've done the deep shadow work and you found those parts of yourself and discovered why you are the way you are in some things, and you bring those up and you reintegrate those parts of yourself and leave some of those parts behind, whatever you're doing, to equal that light-dark ratio in yourself. The maintenance part of shadow work is as things come up in your conscious mind that you don't want to repress that anymore, because now you're aware of what happens when you repress things.
Right.
Like the man with the scars.
Yeah.
That you with the scars.
Right.
Is now you know, I'm going to speak my truth, because if I don't, I'm hurting this guy. I'm hurting myself.
Right.
And this is going to come out later in uglier ways.
Yeah.
So instead of keeping that inside, I'm going to express it now. I'm going to do something about it now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a difference now. So I'm dealing with it in the now than having to deal with that 10 years from now.
Right.
Right?
That's powerful.
It's a very powerful practice.
So what are other ways? I mean, because I did that, you know, guided meditation. So what are some other ways of, like, for someone that's just like learning about this for the first time and it's like, well, I would love to do this. What are other things they can do to tap into that?
So guided meditations, like you mentioned, of course, since I'm a tarot reader, I use tarot cards, and there's many tarot spreads, and tarot is wonderful because you have 78 cards filled with all of these different symbols, all these different colors, all these different things in it that speak to your subconscious. That's what they're designed to do. Your subconscious speaks in symbols, and your subconscious wants to heal you. It desperately wants to do shadow work, but that's so far from removed from our society that, I mean, nobody thinks to do it.
Right.
Even the term is foreign. It sounds scary. It sounds
right.
Like you're talking about some horrible thing that maybe the cauldron is involved in pentacles.
Right.
Not that those are, not there's anything wrong with those things, but it's not about that at all. I mean,
right.
The cultures have used shadow work since the beginning of time, way before Carl Jung came up with the term shadow work. The shadow has always existed. Sometimes you would take your shadow and you'd place it on another people, like the Germans did to the Jews. They put all of their problems on the Jews and created a giant shadow for that country.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
People in the desert used to take a goat. And when they're just living in tribes, and they would put all of the community's badness on that goat and whip that goat and send it out in the desert to die. That's where the term scapegoat comes from.
Oh, wow.
That was the way they dealt with their shadow work. They put the shadow on a goat and sent it out in the desert.
Wow.
Right? So I'm not saying that's
going.
A way to deal with shadow work. don't genocide is bad. Don't
right.
Don't kill goats.
Right.
But instead there's some tarot spreads you can do.
Yeah.
There's guided meditation. But like I said, the tarot is great in that your mind speaks in symbols. And so when you use the tarot, one, your mind's trying to heal itself, so you're gonna see the things in the tarot that your mind wants you to do to heal yourself. So you go in and you're shuffling your cards, keeping in mind, what do I need to know about my shadow self? What parts of myself do I need to heal? And you start putting out the cards. All of a sudden, the cards, the symbols are gonna start popping out at you and reminding you of things you didn't even know that you remembered. It's deep in there and it starts to come out. And once you start that process, it doesn't stop until you bring it all out. So that's a really great way for me to deal with it. That's the way I teach most people to deal with that.
Yeah.
Often, I mean, it helps. If it's so deep,
I wouldn't say do this instead of seeing a therapist or a psychologist or psychoanalyst. Those are all important things too. This is one aspect though that you can do on yourself to see if you can do it and see if you feel better. Does your life improve?
Right.
You know, and if it does, then keep doing what you're doing. If not, seek medical help. Seek, you know, better attention. But that's a great way to start.
Excellent. I have a question.
Yeah.
So I know that a lot of, you know, shamans, they have that dark night of the soul. Is that coincide at all with shadow work?
Can you answer that? I'm not aware of that.
Dark night of the soul. I can't answer it right now either because in my head I'm going down another rabbit hole.
Oh, that's okay. Can you describe the process?
I might write it down for like a later conversation. Because maybe at the end we can revisit or something like that's interesting. But yeah. Basically the only thing I know about that is it's a very hard thing that shamans go through, and it is them, I believe, actually having to face like everything in their life, which could be shadow cells.
I think so. Yeah.
I think that is it, and it's like a period of a whole period of time.
Yes,
like months or years where something, they're just dealing with nothing but delving into all that darkness and working through it. I think that's what the dark night of the soul is. It could be weeks, months, or years of time, depending on how they've dealt with it. And going down the rabbit hole that I was just about to dive into, another way to deal with it is past life regression, because sometimes the shadow that you're carrying is not necessarily from this lifetime, but then, you know, in our crazy multiverse here, you know, not only do we carry the DNA from this lifetime, you know, we have this inheritance. Not only were we born here and we have all of our own personal experiences, we also carry the DNA from all of our families, and we inherit some of the stuff from our families, and our soul comes here. And whatever you believe, whether our soul is intact and we just go intact from one lifetime to another lifetime to another lifetime, or some people think that your soul is sort of dispersed, and as you come back into a new lifetime, a piece from this person, a piece from that person sort of comes together as one soul unit that's gonna be a person in this lifetime. That doesn't make sense to me, but a lot of people do believe that.
Yeah.
But one way or the other, you're tracking stuff from a previous lifetime, whether it's your previous lifetime or the previous lifetime of other people, but it's what you remember because that's now part of you as well. Sometimes things aren't necessarily things that we are going to remember in this lifetime.
Right. That's so interesting though, because it's like with past lives, I mean, I always find it interesting when I've read stories about people who, for instance, I mean, they've had different ailments, for instance, that they don't even know where it stemmed from, or fears. They have certain like major fears of things, and they're like, I don't even understand why I have this fear because I haven't even experienced this in my life.
Exactly.
Yet it comes from past lives. So yeah, that's very interesting.
And I do have that experience in particular, I can go into that. But I have read about many people who, you know, they've reached their 30s or 40s, and then just all of a sudden, they have this turning point in their life where everything falls apart and they cannot explain it in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't make sense. So then, you know, through various different therapies, they do end up in a past life regression and find out that in a past life, at this exact same age, something traumatic happened to them then, and they're kind of echoing into this lifetime. And they are doing their shadow work through the past life regression therapy from a previous lifetime.
Right.
So talking about past lifetime fears, I came into this lifetime. I was born in the Midwest, and I lived in the Midwest almost all my early years. I've lived in the Pacific Northwest since I was 14, but nobody in my family has boats, and I have always had an aversion to ships and generally ocean. I mean, if we're going to go somewhere, I'm always trying to talk him into going up into the hills.
Right.
You know, I'll go up into the mountains, traipse through the forest, go to any lakes or rivers you want to, but I really, really don't like going to the ocean.
Yeah.
And if we go to the ocean, he always wants to stay like right on the beach. He wants the water washing right up against the window. And if we could just open the window and have the ocean just sort of spill in and wash across our bed, I think he would be even happy. For me, however, as soon as we drive into any coastal town, the first thing I'm looking at is, what's the tsunami evacuation routes? I'm looking at the hills. I'm like, can I get up those people's driveway? Can I get up that hill? What's the route to get out of here? This is the lowest lying section of this town. How do I get out of this section of town? Because I don't want to be that low lying.
Right, yeah.
And then, we're laying in bed at night and he's just sleeping all happy and purring, and I'm looking at USGS website going, has there been an earthquake? Has there been an earthquake in Japan? What's going on in Indonesia? Do we have tsunami alerts here all night long? I don't sleep when we get anywhere close to the ocean.
Wow.
And this can be a whole weekend or a whole week. I'm not sleeping the whole time because I am panicked about this body of water, and there's no reason in this lifetime for me to have this issue. There's no reason. I have no experience in this lifetime with having a problem with the ocean. He's spent as much time at the ocean as I do, and he absolutely loves it. It's the best thing. He feels better when we get there.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just a stinky pile of cesspool that wants to get far too close to me and destroy things.
Have you done a past life that has ever brought that to light for you?
So what I did do was, like you, I did a meditation, a guided meditation with Ganesha.
Nice.
I had never done a guided meditation with Ganesha. I didn't even know this was a thing. So Ganesha is that God that you see. He's shaped like an elephant. He's always sitting. He's got lots of decor on him. And what he is the Indian god of blockages.
Oh, wow.
So I'd never tried this, and I didn't think anything was going to come of it. I sat, and it was just a 1 hour meditation. And so I followed the meditation, and, we grounded, and it was just all darkness in my head. And all of a sudden just this vision came into my head that Ganesha was standing right in front of me. And I took note that he must have a bit of a sense of humor, 'cause he's standing in like this 1920s, swimsuit, the one that's got straps over the shoulders and goes halfway down the legs, and it's giant black and white stripes, but it's got a little fluff around, a little fluffy frilly around the center. And he's got these ginormous goggles. He's an elephant, okay? He's got ginormous swimming goggles on. I'm looking at him thinking, and then I take in the fact that we're standing on the beach and the ocean is behind him. And I'm starting to back up a little bit, and he's reaching out and handing me a pair of goggles. And I'm like, no. Right. And he's like, well, this is what we're doing. And if you don't want to do it, I don't have time because I've got other things I got to deal with.
Right.
And I was just about to go, go ahead. And I thought, oh, this is your opportunity. Things seem to be working. So I'm like, okay. And I took the goggles and I put them on. And the next thing that I saw, we were in the water far out, and we must have gone down probably 50 or 60 feet into the water, but everything was just this beautiful turquoise blue.
Wow.
It was like, oh, this is beautiful. It's just the two of us swimming through the water.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything but just gorgeous turquoise blue water.
Wow.
And then everything goes dark again. And the next thing that opens up is it's all black, and I see this sunken ship coming into view. And it was like, oh no,
oh, wow.
This is terrible. And we swim up to the ship, and in the ship, I meet myself. I'm standing there looking at myself, and myself is wearing a formal dress and my hair is up in this particular style. And I'm like, well, this is weird. I don't know what to do. And so we, just the two of us, because at this point, Ganesha just kind of disappears from the scenario because we have met ourselves.
Yeah.
And we start swimming back up through the water. And I remember saying to her, are we supposed to reintegrate now? And then I thought, no, you've been stuck here for a really long time. That's not fair. Why don't you go do whatever you want to do and then reintegrate into my higher self when you're ready?
Right, yeah.
And we came up out of the water and then she disappeared and that was it. It was over and done. And wow. I thought, well, that was all very strange, but if I drowned in a ship in a previous lifetime, it might explain why in this lifetime, even though I've never been on a ship, I've never been on the ocean, it might explain why this is an issue for me.
Wow.
That doesn't make any other sense. So
that's incredible.
Jason and I have been together for more than 25 years, and he has asked me many times, because he does love the ocean, to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
And I've been telling him, we can drive anywhere you want to go, but I'm never getting on a ship. It's not going to happen. And so this happened February of last year, and our birthdays are only 8 days apart in November, December, and it was our 50th birthdays were coming up. And we were looking at trying to go do something big. And when a bunch of ideas came around and several things fell apart, and it ended up that I started looking at a cruise. And it was only because I'd taken that meditation that I could even consider considering a cruise. And So we did finally end up taking a cruise. I mean, I had to make some adjustments. I couldn't get on a transatlantic cruise. I can't get on a trans-Pacific cruise.
Right, I
did get on one that sort of went straight down and followed the line of the shelf, the Pacific shelf. Yeah. So that at any given point, I could look out and still see land.
Right.
And so as long as I could still see land, I was okay to be on the ship. I still had some issues. I didn't like seeing the water in the dark, but I was there. I made it there. I could do that part.
That's
at
amazing.
One point, they did make us get off of the ship in a lifeboat, which I thought was complete and utter bullshit.
Oh, no.
And a lot of our vacation pictures are me looking a little green around the gills with a lot of twisted faces like, you've got to be kidding.
But we did it.
Yeah.
But you did it.
I did it. And before I did that meditation where I dealt with some sort of a past life issue, I could have never even considered. And I truly have never even considered it. It's been off the consideration table at all costs up until that moment.
Wow.
So it might not be perhaps the traditional shadow work, but I think it's a form of shadow work.
Mm-hmm. That's still shadow work.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Not only are you delving into your deep subconscious, you're so deep it's another lifetime.
Right,
so
yes.
Most people don't get to work that deeply.
Yeah, that's so true. My gosh.
But how freeing was that when you saw that person and you rose to the top of the ocean and she disappeared to go do her own thing? How soon after that do you think your feelings, your fears of the water started to dissipate, where you had the strength without, I didn't even encourage the whole cruise ship thing at all. I didn't even mention it because I knew her feelings on cruises. I could recite them. Land in sight within swimming distance.
Right.
But how was that for you after that moment? How soon did you feel that release of the negativity that was in your shadow?
Well, it wasn't a complete release, but it was enough of a release that I was still able to function and to do this. I was able to move forward. I think there's still some, because I'm still not interested in going really far out into the water.
Right.
But I could at least get onto the water, and that change happened almost instantly.
Wow.
Because I don't know if I always felt like there had been something that had happened in a past lifetime or not, if it guided it. I don't know how those things came about, but it was like that whatever it was that happened was what I needed in order to be able to move past that blockage.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing the healing that comes from shadow work, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for you, water was a trigger.
Yes.
Okay. And that's how you discovered your shadow self, right?
Yes.
So triggers are a good way to discover your shadow self. If you're experiencing problems in your life, maybe you know you're not real, you know, not living your best life, and you're trying to figure out what's wrong, you know, and you're thinking about shadow work. One thing to kind of narrow down where your shadow is to look at your triggers. What triggers you? What angers you? What brings up strong emotions in you? For her, it was water.
Okay. Some people, it's fear of heights.
That's me.
Some it could people, be it's fear of cars.
Fear of heights, fear of cars. So many phobias are sometimes triggers that will help you discover what you've buried in your current life.
Yeah.
As well as your past lives, but especially in your current life, of things that happened long ago.
Right.
For example, when I was an adult, I still am.
Wow, I was wondering.
That's
I was like,
great.
But when I was when a younger adult, it's kind of maybe in my 20s.
Yeah.
You know, Caroline and I were together, and maybe we'd go swimming. But
oh, yeah.
I could not be near a public swimming pool.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
The thought of it terrified me. I would try.
We had some bad moments trying to take the kids swimming.
I would usually, maybe even if I got in for a little bit, I'd be right out and I'd be done and I'd just wait for people to get done. And I love the water. And
yeah.
So I love swimming, and that didn't make any sense. But upon, you know, deep thought and meditation, I remembered a time where my biological father would take me swimming when I was very, very young. That was the thing that we did together.
Yeah.
After my parents got divorced when I was 4, the few times I saw him were him taking me swimming. And then he disappeared from my life for a long time.
Oh, wow.
And that memory kind of just went away.
Yeah.
It didn't ever come back again. I lived in Alaska. There weren't a lot of swimming pools.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really test the theory that,
yeah, right,
something was wrong. But as an adult, I'm wondering, I'm here. I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I'm in Washington with my wife. And this swimming pool is terrifying me. What happened?
Yeah.
And so it took going back and dealing with that. But as soon as I did, as soon as I acknowledged that, as soon as I realized that's what it was, whenever I saw a swimming pool, I felt abandoned. I felt anxiety. I felt loss.
Right.
And that didn't make any sense. But doing even rudimentary shadow work, because I didn't know what shadow work was back then.
Right.
But just doing that and acknowledging it, bringing it to light, realizing that I had no control of that situation, and acting as the father of my own child, me being the younger version,
right,
me being the father of that younger version, I was able to care for that and heal that.
Right.
And
wow.
Say, I'm sorry this happened to you. This wasn't your fault. It had nothing to do with you. And I can go swimming now, no problem.
Right.
I was swimming on that cruise ship.
He was?
Nice, that's awesome.
Not in the ocean, in an actual swimming pool.
Right, right. So you were saying that you actually kind of like went back to talk to your younger self, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
To heal them.
Right, right. Wow. Well, Amy's afraid of sharks, so I wonder where that came from.
What happened to you?
God. I have no idea. I am terrified of sharks, probably because my mother is nuts and she let me watch Jaws when I was 4 years old. So hopefully she's listening to this. I always give her a hard time about that. But I was thinking about how to discover your shadow self, and something came up for me because I used to read a lot about the mind-body connection and Louise Hay, mm-hmm, and You Can Heal Your Life. And it made me think of possibly a third way. You said look at your triggers, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that came up for me, I guess, is looking at chronic pain patterns in your body and thinking about just your health conditions that you have. And those things have been linked to emotions, unresolved emotions and traumas. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so if you maybe that's an avenue where people could start to explore
sure.
this, and there's so much out there on that. It's really, but if you just start with Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life, and you know, the Hay House, all of the authors are yeah. pretty much, you know, they have great stuff out there. But that is where I started kind of realizing some things that I needed to resolve. And so I just thought I would share that, because, you know, this definite connection between the mind and the body.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We carry different pains in different parts of our body.
Yeah.
And depending on what that pain is, or what that part of our body is, yeah. it's our engine warning light saying yeah. something's wrong.
Right.
Your body wants to be healed.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Your mind wants to be healed.
Right.
And it's providing every opportunity it can, but it needs help. It needs
mm-hmm.
guidance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by you recognizing your triggers or unresolved pain
mm-hmm.
or idiosyncratic pain or anything like that, they're just kind of warning lights letting you know
mm-hmm.
that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives you the opportunity to do a meditation or to use tarot cards or to see a therapist or to do whatever you need to do to heal yourself.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
we don't have the tools personally a lot of time to do it all by ourselves, especially the real tough ones.
Right.
Sometimes mm-hmm. we need a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Definitely with like the generational, I don't know if you would call it like a generational imprint, like an energy imprint, or...
Mm-hmm.
or you just somehow absorb that trauma or that unresolved emotion that I worked with a woman before, and she basically told me that I was still carrying an unresolved thought about or from my great-grandmother.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it just sort of blew me away, because I didn't realize, you know, and she told me what that was. And I was shocked, because number one, how would she know? And number two, yes, I do have a great grandmother. And so what she told me was one of the ways to sort of start the healing process there
mm-hmm.
was... to get a picture of my great grandmother and look at that picture and start saying like positive affirmation kind of you know, statements, and start sending love to her. And you know, I don't have any sort of miraculous result, because I don't know if I really stuck with it, but I definitely do feel that I have less of that belief you know, of myself. I was holding on to a belief of myself, and I did not know where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically kind of helped me to uncover that. And it was pretty amazing.
That's
so that
so
generational,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big, like, yeah. When I heard you, I think it was you, Carolyn, mm-hmm. that mentioned that, I was like, wow, that's, it's legit.
So you no longer hold that belief anymore that you had about yourself.
I do, but it's less.
It's less, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I still have work to do
yeah.
on that.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's another thing we should mention about shadow work. It's not a one and done thing.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out and you start digging to the roots of an oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
You're not done after a few shovelfuls. That,
right.
that goes way, way
right.
down.
Right.
And it affects many, many different parts of your psyche and who you are. And so you're going to see things like that, especially after you do the first excavation.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start seeing things bubble up in your life mm-hmm. months later. All that stuff
oh, yeah.
is finally free to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to feel way worse before you feel better
mm-hmm.
most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time it's not going to be like, I came out of the meditation and my life was wonderful.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Like, right.
I came
right.
out of the meditation and holy shit, I wish I didn't do that.
right. Right. Forces you to look
but
at everything.
Oh, yeah.
Months from then, you feel
way better. I mean, you're able to deal with life better. The sky is brighter. The people are cheerier. Just everything around you has changed somewhat.
Taking that weight off your own shoulders that you didn't even realize.
Yeah, it feels amazing. But sometimes it takes a little while. So that's the thing I wanted to say is that it's not one and done. It's going to take continual work over a long period of time, most times. So once you, like I said, when you need to revisit the cave, that's what I mean. See the progression.
Definitely.
Because maybe there's more healing that needs to be made, but maybe the healing is so, you know, obvious that, well, you keep doing it. I mean, if it works, if the medication is working, keep taking it, right?
Right.
Until
totally.
You're healed.
Exactly.
But yeah, definitely go back.
I will. No, I'm definitely going to. I'll update you guys next time.
Yeah. Awesome.
A little quick update on that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely update everyone out in podcast land on what happens in Tristan's cave.
Yeah. I'll let you know about my cave. Episode 5.
You got to redecorate. You got to redecorate and make it prettier in there.
Yes. Bring some light in.
Yes.
Bring some light in. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So crystals.
Another way you could use tarot cards to find your triggers is take the whole deck, and this is really easy for anyone that has tarot cards or access to tarot cards. And you could use really anything, but tarot cards are perfect for this.
Yeah.
Just go through each card and put them in piles of positive and negative. Now, if you know anything about tarot, you know there's no negative cards, there's no positive cards.
Right.
It's however your mind is interpreting it, depending on what you want to know. But look for negative cards. Look for triggers. So you'll take the first card, you'll put it in the no trigger pile. The next card, you put, oh, I'm definitely triggered by that. And so you go through all the cards. Say you hit the Emperor, and all of a sudden, ugh, that's a horrible card. Why is that a horrible card? Because this is a father figure. This is the Emperor. This is a leader. This is someone who's in control. And for some reason, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. That's something maybe I can look into. Now I use my tarot cards. Why is that a problem? Maybe I find out I had an issue with my father at some point. Or maybe an authority figure took advantage of me or abused me in some manner.
Right.
And I forgot completely about that. But that card triggering me let me know that there's something in that area I need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I write that down. Or I leave it in that pile. And I go to the next card. And I go through all 78 cards. Now I have a pile of triggers that I can take my time, maybe one card per session, and figure out why was that a trigger for me? Why do I feel so negative towards this card?
Yeah. I actually did, because I remember actually taking your class.
Yeah.
And I did go through the deck, because I remember you saying, like, about, you know, there's no, you know, negative cards really, right? And so I did that, but the thing was I didn't do was actually just really thinking of them as the trigger cards also, because I was just like, oh, and it was interesting because I did that and I was like, I really did, legitimately. I would look at a card that would, you know, normally think, hey, this usually is a really good card, you know, and I would feel triggered. You know, just kind of like, oh, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't resonate.
Exactly.
That card does not resonate with me.
Yeah.
But gosh, I'm doing it again now because I wanted to see that. That's very interesting to actually find the root of that. Why does that not resonate?
Especially if it looks like an innocuous card and you're still triggered.
Yeah.
That's a definite sign that there's something in that area to look
at. Totally. Huh. How interesting. I am fascinated by that, actually.
Side note, not on the record.
Yeah.
With all your sword history and your past life, you'd probably be every card of swords.
Do you know what?
I have the whole sword deck right here.
You know what? That's actually interesting that you said that. Oh, my God. No, that's actually... No. Okay.
Should we
I'm going to visit this.
Should we visit it?
No, I'm going to visit this because it's so true. The swords, actually, that's very true. The sword cards always, every time I see any sword card, it actually really affects me. Another thing since I was a child that has really affected me that I've never been able to handle is when utensils, metal utensils, are touching. It sounds like a sword fight.
Yeah.
And it makes my, like, not my, it's not even just like nails on a chalkboard. It's like, it makes me, like, I can't even explain how I feel.
So
it makes me,
about...
the way I feel when I hear that, it just bothers me so much to where I have to be like, you know, can you please stop making those touch? I can't hear that sound. And then I would say probably in my late teens, I started thinking about it. I was like, it sounds like when swords are like hitting each other.
Right.
And I started almost thinking, I thought, you know, I wonder in a past life if perhaps I died in a sword fight or swords or something with that, because it really, and still affects me. But now I'm thinking I'm going to revisit that more.
Yeah, and that'd be fascinating.
But that your wasn't even a joke. The tarot cards, actually, I did go through. I did not like any of the sword cards. Wow.
We're doing the shadow work right now.
Right now.
Right now, here, folks. You're witnessing in real live. Time.
Well, not live.
Ish.
Couple of weeks after live-ish.
So stepping back for just a second to your story, Amy, with the ancestral healing, because that's what you were doing. Your grandmother apparently had some, I don't know what it is,
yeah,
but
great-grandmother
had some sort of a thought, and whether or not you physically heard that mm-hmm. with your own ears and integrated it into your thought process, mm-hmm. or it was something that she thought and it came down through your mm-hmm. DNA, that's one of the things that we were talking about. You have multiple different types of lineages. Mm-hmm. Not only do you have your own lineage from here in your own lifetime, you have your lineage coming from your family on both your mom and dad mm-hmm. sides, and you have your spirit DNA coming with previous lifetimes. So I'm certainly not an authority on ancestral healing, but you'll hear some people talk about setting up an ancestor altar to mm-hmm. do that type mm-hmm. of work. And it is a form of shadow work mm-hmm. where you're going back and healing. You're healing yourself in order to also heal your ancestors, because if we're living actually multidimensionally, then theoretically they're living at the same time that we're living.
Right.
Even though we think of things in a linear fashion, it's not necessarily linear. So
right,
when
yes.
you heal yourself, then you're healing them also. And what they say is that when you're doing ancestral healing, you're healing seven generations back and seven generations in the future.
Oh, wow.
As well, because wow. you've stopped a cycle. People get into cycles of things, and you have brought a healing factor to that mm-hmm. that heals backwards as well. And that can really be just as simple as, like you said, getting a picture. Mm-hmm. Some people don't have pictures of everybody, and some people don't even know the names of anybody, but it doesn't matter, because inside you're still connected to those people. So you can still set up an altar and just, you know, candles or some sort of a representation of those people, and send out the thought process that you acknowledge their trials and tribulations and you forgive them for the things that they didn't do as well mm-hmm. as maybe they wanted to do mm-hmm. that you understand that in their time they were doing the best they could with
right.
what they had and what they knew at the time. And you know, they had their own shadow work that they didn't know anything
right.
about dealing with, because chances are they were still in a life pattern of I need to exist, I need to live, I need to get food, I need shelter, I need warmth, you know. And mm-hmm. so some things just, you know, went by the wayside, and sometimes people were abused, and a lot of, you know, before we had clean water, everybody had just alcohol all the time, and that fueled
right,
a lot
right.
of things that we just don't think of. It's not in our thought process right now, but, you know, so as you heal yourself, you're also healing them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
In regards to shadow work, I think it's important to understand that if you don't do shadow work, if you aren't conscious about it, if you let these things stay where they are, there's just a lot of ramifications. If you don't take care of it, your health is going to deteriorate. You're going to find out that you don't stay in relationships very long, or if you do, there's always something wrong. So your interpersonal relationships will suffer. You can physically suffer. You're just not living your whole life. Okay, so the biggest takeaway from shadow work is, if you work on your shadow, if you go down and you bring those deep subjects back up, and you bring it to life, and you integrate those things back into your life, you're actually empowering yourself mm-hmm. because that was a part of you that was stuck in your shadow for so long, and now you're reclaiming that. Okay, so we've talked a lot about shadow work, how to figure out if you need to do shadow work, the benefits of shadow work. But the biggest takeaway I want you to get from this is that by doing shadow work, you're reclaiming your personal power. All of this stuff that you've had in your subconscious for so long is taking up your energy. It's like you've been dragging around a ton of rocks wherever you go. Letting go of that and being able to integrate that and become your whole self again and reclaiming that energy, living a full life, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
It's really amazing. It's worth doing. Absolutely look into it. Look at the meditations. Take a class. Do the things with the tarot cards. That's really eye-opening. There's so many great things that you can do. And once you do that, maintain that. Don't stuff down those emotions anymore. Speak your truth. Do what you need to do to get that out there. And so you're not repressing yourself. Be who you are. And by doing your shadow work, your confidence increases. Your happiness increases. You want what's better for you. It's just like when you exercise, all of a sudden you're craving healthy foods.
Right.
It's the same thing with shadow work. Once you do your shadow work, you don't want an unhealthy lifestyle anymore. You don't want to drink anymore. You don't want to do drugs anymore. You don't want to hang out with the wrong people anymore. You know, you've reclaimed that part of yourself back, and you're on a higher trajectory.
Right.
So this is a great topic. I really enjoy talking about it. And I think it's something that all of us really truly need.
I agree.
I really like your analogy about dragging around a bag of rocks, yeah. Because I think that's what it is. It's mm-hmm. it's a lot of history of low vibrational energy that has been sort of, we've created these little black pearls of dark energy that we've shoved all this stuff into, and we need to bring that energy back. And when you give it attention and sort of shine light on it, it transforms that into sort of a white pearl of energy, and you can take that and disperse it into a usable energy or just back into the universe. Mm-hmm. And you can either reuse that or just let it go so that you don't have to carry that around anymore. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's so freeing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Personally, I experienced what shadow work can do for you and the healing that it brought me. So, like I said before, it was really just life transform. It was a whole life transformation. And it's crazy when you actually go and dig that deep and realize what is happening so deep within. You know, because on the outside, so many times, I wasn't aware of what was going on, you know, and since then, I have felt so much more relief and freedom. I have been able to speak free, and my throat blockage is gone. My throat chakra has completely opened up, which I feel like is amazing. I actually, before this was happening, I'd had an ultrasound done where I needed to have a double biopsy of nodules that they found in my throat. And, you know, it's taken many times, you know, like reschedules, finally got the biopsy done. They're actually, you know, waiting for the results on that. But I just know, I already feel confident, like it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how health things can happen. Right. My throat chakra is blocked.
I was wondering if you're going to say that.
Yeah, my throat chakra is blocked. And there you go. We got the nodules right on the throat. I mean, you know, it all goes hand in hand.
That's like a classic emotional mind-body connection pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you've changed jobs to something that you released
Love.
Yourself
I did.
To do what you need and want to do.
Exactly. I am. I feel like I took that, you know, stepping stone of a complete career change and something that I actually really love to do, and felt a little scary at first because it was new and everything else, but I have felt so much happier. Mm-hmm. So much happier in doing so. But yeah, shadow work was really a huge, it was a huge just release and relief into my life. And I can't wait to visit my shadow self again here in this week.
Can't
this
wait to
this
find
week.
Out. Find yes, out what happens. Sure. That'd be great.
And redecorate that cave.
I will.
Okay.
All right, well, is that it tonight? I think so. Sounds good. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode, which will be a surprise.
Good night.
To us as well as you.
Good night.
Good night.